It's a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Digi Country, BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out to the national team there and acknowledge all the traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong, you mob. All right, now the 2023 Laura Quinken Indigenous Dance Festival is happening this year, every 2 years. So that's a date claimer, Friday 7th to Sunday 9th of July. Lock that out. With that, we're going to catch up and have a yarn with Fiona John, Laura Quinken Indigenous Dance Festival Event Director, on the line. Fiona, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So here we are at the table once again for Laura Quinken Indigenous Dance Festival and BBM, Joint Venture, works closely with you, Mob, there, and looking forward to the year. So tell us about the dates and times and what can we expect, sister?
So the Laura Dance Festival is from the 7th to 9th of July and held in the sacred Bora Ground in Laura. It's actually just out of Laura, about 15 kilometres south of Laura.
Yes.
Tickets are on sale and I went out to the festival ground the other day and it's actually looking really good.
Looking really good.
Held up to all the rain and...
Exactly. Yeah. Lush green.
Lush, very lush green, like up to my waist lush green.
Until we get the board dance circle up and running, then the dust will be flying, won't it? Come Friday, 7th
exactly
July.
Right. It won't take long.
Exactly. Yeah. How long have you been event director, Fiona?
This is my second festival.
Okay.
So because it's every 2 years.
Yes.
Yep, I was the event director first time last festival, so yeah.
No, fantastic. Look, it's a world-renowned event, great, strong in culture. Now, in regard to performances, different traditional group, is that open across the board or just far north Queensland?
Yeah, it's open. So for the actual dance competition, it's just the communities out of the Cape.
Yes.
But we do have a couple of invitational teams that have already expressed interest. So they will be coming from different regions to... also share their stories and their culture.
Yes.
But it will just be done in a different, outside of the sort of
competition
format.
So. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, beautiful. Yeah. And regarding punters, regarding tourists, people going up to camp at the festival, mm-hmm. that's all open and all different vehicles and campsites and tents and what have you. Paint that picture, please.
Well, it's fully sealed road all the way into Laura and then we've got a beautifully built gravel road within the festival grounds, so caravans, camper trailers, just little two-wheel drive Hyundais can get in there without any issue. It's bush camping,
yes.
But there are toilet and shower facilities, and we've got lots of great food vendors this year. And internet is limited, phone reception is limited. Make sure you've got cash in your pocket to buy your food because not all vendors will have their
phone. Cash, yeah, that's a good point. Make that point. And regarding costing, what's the cost to venture into the festival?
Oh, it depends on what sort of ticketing experience or what experience you want. So there's quite a range of tickets. They're all on sale at the moment at lauraquinkenfestival.com.au.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty to suit families, individuals, groups. If you've got a group of mates that are coming, we've got a really good group ticket option. One-day entry, you know, just festival only.
Okay.
There's a lot of options, and they're all there on the website.
Fantastic. And the funds, the money that comes in, does it go back to the traditional owners there? How's that work?
It absolutely does. All the money received from the festival, it goes into the running of the festival,
mm-hmm.
And then it goes back into, you know, keeping a lot of it's back into the rerunning of the festival, keeping that grounds up to scratch, you know, different regulations change through councils and government and things like that. So it's all going back into the festival, which then goes back to the communities in a more indirect manner, but it goes back in to get them in there and make sure that we can keep this going. This event's been going since the early 80s. So
exactly.
We've got to be able to keep it going, but also meet the bureaucratic requirements as
Thank
well.
Thank you. Thank you. That's right. Dot the I's, cross the T's. And in regards to the webpage again, how do people get their tickets?
They just go to lauraquinkenfestival.com.au.
Okay, fantastic. Now, we as First Nation Media have worked very closely with you guys over the years. So yep. We'll be plugging it out big time on the air here. Of course, we'll be up there for the outdoor broadcast and through NERS as well, National Digital Radio Service, to get this the yarns out. But thank you for your yarn, Fiona. All the best to you. Please keep in touch. And we'll yarn get closer to the date, sister.
Sounds fantastic.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your support. Bye.
Bye-bye. Adelie Yarn there, Fiona John, her name is. She's the event director for Laura Quinken Indigenous Dance Festival, and that's happening once again. Those dates, date claimers for you mob, Friday 7th and Sunday 9th to through to Sunday 9th of July. So that's this year. So whatever you got on that weekend, cancel it and get to Laura Quinken Indigenous Dance Festival. It is too deadly. You see the BBM crew up there, of course, and we'll be yarning to all the deadly mob up there. Fantastic event every 2 years, and for BBM, we're excited to be a part of it, as always. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na.
Yeah. I said I'm sorry. I know I hurt you. I only thought of myself, a man with no kids. I can't believe you stuck by me. All those times I shamed you after my insecurities. I made mates with the bottle. I never thought about tomorrow and all the pain that I've been causing for so long. I'm sorry. No more tears, but the more.
Yeah, that daily track there, reggae music, Saltwater Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yanup Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yanup Strong here on National Talk Black. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page, you're at BBM987FM. And your host is the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. It is your program. I'm just steering the ship. That's all I'm doing. But have you saying Yanup Strong. Let's look at the top stories in the news today. Where are we at the news? Well, Donald Trump has talked that secret documents in Trump's criminal case have been unsealed. Here's what we learned after a two-month hearing that took place in secret in a New York courthouse. The indictment against former President Donald Trump has finally been unsealed in dramatic, unprecedented day in U.S. history. Trump surrendered to authorities, was fingerprinted, and appeared before a judge to hear the charges against him. He was charged in court with 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. He pleaded not guilty. Now that Trump has been arraigned, the evidence used to persuade the 23-member grand jury to indict him has been made public. During the election, Trump and others employed a catch-and-kill scheme to identify, purchase, and bury negative information about him and boost his electorate prospects. District Attorney Alvin Bragg said, this is everything we learned from the people of the state of New York against Donald J. Trump. Indictment number 71543/23. So that's where it at. The no one's above the law. Other news here, The Age, bigger threat than China. Defence League leaders urge release of scary climate report. Indigenous voice, no campaign event reinforced racist stereotype, watchdog says. My sensory sensitivity started to intensify. K's Rock Road to an autism diagnosis. I'm disappointed, Tigers explained. Anzac jersey with non-Aussie soldiers on the front. Vladimir Putin was furious over Ukraine's NATO hopes, but on Finland's, it's a different story. So they're the headlines for today's news. Have you seen Yanup Strong? Maybe you got some news for us here on your daily program, National Talk Black. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. We'll be catching up with the boys in blue from Edmonton Police for our next segment, which we're yarning. Stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM, National Talk Black.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
feeling fine. I'm always thinking of you, 'cause you're always on my mind. And I wonder what you're doing and how you're killing time. Oh, Jesse, how you doing, dear old friend of mine? Well, did you look
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning circle, BBM 98.7.
That Deli track, Free as a Bird, that's Road Black Band here on your Deli program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the ball. You're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News National News Radio Service. All right, which way Yarning? That's our next segment. The guys from in blue from Edmonton Police, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay has come to have a yarn. And also we have Stephen Grant, PLO, Police Liaison Officer. And we're talking Fatal Five, but we also want to acknowledge Pekoni, who's a major sponsor for this deadly segment. And they give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Brisbane Media. It's Pekoni, Brinsmead in Edmonton. IGA and give us a box of fruit and we say healthy living, healthy lifestyle message we deliver. Fatal Five, a very good morning to you both and Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay and Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Trevor.
Morning, Trevor.
Morning, good to see you both. Yep, thank you very much for coming to the program. Brother man, who your mob, where you from? Let them know.
Me, Brad Jindabal Warrior.
Yes.
From the tropics of the Cardinal Ravens, say Tully area.
Tully area. So the mob there in Tully that you owe money to, and they know where you are now. Here at Bummer Bipper today. Brother, didn't it? Good yarn with you. So we're talking the Fatal Five. Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good, mate. Good, good. Thank you for coming. So this is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Fatal Five.
Look, it is. And you normally will notice it plugged a lot more around these school holiday periods because that tends to be the times, school holidays and public holidays.
Yes.
When we start to see a lot more people on the road.
Yes.
And we start to find that, you know, we have more injury accidents and worse the fatalities that come with it.
Well, exactly. And look, family, love and thoughts are going to family of a young girl, I think just last weekend, who passed here in Cairns at the Barron River. Yeah, what I'm saying, we don't know what the fact is for that situation there, but we're talking about Fatal Five. Quickly mention them, speed, fatigue, seat belts, distraction, and drink and drug driving. So that's the Fatal Five. If you look at the fundamentals of it and this and the common sense of it, speed, the faster you drive or ride, the greater your risk of a crash.
Correctly. You know? Yeah, yeah.
So let's elaborate on the five.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm going to start with. Yes. I'm going to start with the Fatal Five that people don't think that they're criminals that probably commit every day. And the first one's going to be fatigue.
Yeah.
Okay, so look, it has the same result as the other Fatal Five, but most of us, we go on a long trip, and if we push ourselves, you know, or we drive too long, or we're driving at the early hours of the morning, we're probably not thinking we're committing any offences, and fatigue's a very hard one to measure for police officers. So, I mean, I can pull over a vehicle that's been travelling for 20 hours straight and not really look and... measure any indication that this person is at risk of crashing. So fatigue is a sneaky one that probably happens quite often and people get away with.
But you, the individual, got to take onus on that, don't you?
You do. So you really do need to have your brakes. Check your warning signs if you start to find yourself having micro sleeps or you're feeling a bit weary. One of the only things that can fix your fatigue is sleep. If you're tired, you need to sleep. So
not four coffees, not running around a car on the side of the road,
not slapping yourself in the face,
not
you know,
25 push-ups,
nope,
cold water,
no cold water. Thank you.
Yep.
It's sleep. That's
absolutely
the best medicine.
That's the only one. The other one that we probably don't think of often enough is your distraction. So we all know the mobile phone, you know, we're very afraid of those tickets because they're quite expensive.
Yep. What are they going now? $1,000 a pop?
We're well over $1,000 now.
3 points, 4 points?
I thought it was 3 points.
Three points.
Yeah. So
they said dollar better in your pocket than somebody else's. But when you talk $1,000, brother, you're not rich.
But the distraction can be a child crying in the back seat, you know. And look, we've all been parents, and we know how difficult that can be. And you know, the driver turning around to settle the child or give them something to, you know, there's your distraction right there. And again, a lot of people probably do get distracted when they're driving, but not feeling that they're committing offences when that happens.
Sure. You know?
But the result is the same with the Fatal Five. So. Look, speed, we all know, absolutely, that, you know, the faster you drive, the greater your risk of crash.
And, yes.
You know, the stopping distances increase with your increased speed. Mm. That's why we do have speed limits in throughout the country. Seat belts, well, that's a no-brainer.
Yep.
You know, we really do need to make sure that we've got our seat belts on. And, you know, one of the things we do come across from time to time is unrestrained children, which for me, you know,
Well, that's dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, look,
precious cargo.
It's something that you know, rings home to me, because I've been to fatal accidents with children that have been thrown from cars that haven't been wearing their seatbelts. So, look, that's very important. And look, children need to learn from a very early age how to sit in their seat and
exactly,
wear their seatbelt.
Exactly. And it's part of the rules as we're teaching the young kids as they're growing up, what have you.
Yeah.
Is the parent charge when they're pulled over and the kids are not restrained?
Yep. So it's still the same unrestrained ticket, but we just tick another box and it says that you've permitted that child to be unrestrained in the in the vehicle, you know. And so
now, the little hands may unclip themselves, but you just got to lay down the law and say, we're not driving until you put it in and whatever, no touching.
Absolutely. And look, if that's been reinforced to a child from a very young age,
of course,
that would be normal. But if we've been making excuses and letting the child get away with it, I'm sure
you're at onus. You're the adult.
Yep. Now I watched a young girl. This is a few weeks back. Walk up to her Prado, and this young girl wouldn't have been more than three and a half years old. Her mum didn't even open the door for her. She climbed up on the side step, opened her own door up. She put her seatbelts out on her little five-point harness.
Yes.
So she could climb in, climbed in, buckled herself up. Now, clearly that parent...
Yes, applaud her. That's right.
Absolutely.
Being taught that young one.
Yep. And so that child has no problem at all wearing a seatbelt.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's very, very important that they get used to wearing seatbelts from a very young age.
Mm.
They're comfortable with it, and they'll just become the norm.
Well, babies and adults, seatbelts have protected people. You probably come to worst, real bad crash accidents with no fatality.
Exactly.
Thank you to the seatbelts.
Exactly. Yep. They save lives. There's no question
about
that.
They save lives. Yep.
So, and look, and the last one there with the drink and drug driving, you know, we know that causes a lot of issues in our community.
Mm.
Particularly drink driving is right out there. It has been for years where we, we have our interception sites and do our breath tests.
Sure.
Drug driving, you know, we do have the capabilities now of testing whether you have been taking drugs and that affects your driving.
Now, with that one, drink driving, you can charge someone for drink driving. Drug driving, you do the test of drug driving. Then there's calls for action to search the car for drugs.
Of course.
Because we're talking drugs. We're talking illegal drugs, aren't we?
Yep, that's right. So you can have a reasonable suspicion now that this person may have drugs in the vehicle. So
there's a double whammy. You are driving drug intoxicated.
Yeah.
But now they're going to search your vehicle because it's a legal drug that they found. Because that's the machines you use tell you what drugs they are?
Yes, correct. Yeah,
it does. Yep. Yeah. So there is. So we're talking marijuana. If we're talking whatever, cocaine, whatever, it shows. Now we check the vehicle. Now you have a double fine, if not that.
If you've got drugs in the vehicle, that's exactly right.
That's right.
Yeah. And look, the purpose of these tests is to prevent you from killing yourself or someone else. We don't want you on the road if you're affected by any substance, you know. Drug driving, and drugs includes prescription drugs as well, not just our illegal drugs.
Yes.
So, some people can, have prescription drugs that they really shouldn't be driving on the road.
Well, there's people here, if not in this area, in this country, on the planet, who have driven under the influence, what have you, have caused an accident, there's fatality because of their doing, they themselves have survived but got to live with that forever.
Exactly right, yep. And that's also through not just the, their conscience of what's happened, but also the court cases and all the consequences that come because of their actions.
Exactly.
You know, so it is quite important.
And they're not driving out there to kill anybody, but because they're doing their drugs or what have you, and then they get in the behind the wheel, a fatality happens.
That's right.
It's on them.
It's never planned. Never been planned at all. You know, but
never been planned.
The consequences, to themselves and the community is devastating.
And that's why you're doing your job there in regard to pulling them over, checking out, Stephen.
The other thing I was just going to ask the good senior sergeant: when does the double demerit points come in on public holidays? Does that still come into effect?
Oh,
I understand they do, Steve. So,
come again. We're talking about points now. Public holidays, points double.
Double demerit points.
Is it only in Queensland?
You'd have to check with your local states and territories.
And territories where the rules are.
They'll differ from different states. So,
Well, we're coming up to Easter weekend. There it is.
Yep.
That's a very expensive chocolate googie egg. You know, also your double points. Exactly. So there's the warning, new mob. Don't drink driving. There's the fatal five we're talking here. Speed, fatigue, seat belts, distraction, and drink, excuse me, drink and drug driving. Come public holiday, there's double points.
Mm.
And then would there be higher fine costing in that as well?
I think there is.
Yeah, well, there it is. Just don't do it. I mean, like I said, life is simple. People complicate it. Don't drive with speed.
Mm.
Wear your seatbelt. If you're tired, don't do it. Distraction, focus on what you're doing. Granddad always said the best definition of the word concentration is wherever you are, be there. So if you're behind the wheel, physically, or be there mentally as well, be alert. You know?
And there'll be a lot of members of the QPS on the roads this weekend. Obviously, the school holidays weekend,
will, of course.
Yeah, probably has started from tomorrow onwards.
No, no, that's started from last weekend.
Last week.
From our school holidays. And look, that's across the country. Most police jurisdictions would have some sort of operation going for the school holidays. So,
well, exactly. Because if you look at most accidents or fatalities are holidays, public holidays, school holidays, you know, Christmas period, whatever. Here we are talking Easter.
Yeah.
Every time there's a long weekend or the celebration on, it's like people go in relax mode. They're not concentrating on what they're doing.
Yep. And the sad part is, you know, once the holidays are over, one of the things picked up in the media is
fatality.
How many people have died over that period,
exactly.
You know. And it's terrible to think that right now there's people alive, maybe listeners to this show, and that, you know, come 2 weeks' time, that
won't be with us.
They won't be with us. So.
And there it is. In regards to all getting excited for the long weekend, then there's sadness come the Tuesday, you know, if you look at a long weekend, 4 day weekend, Friday, Easter, Friday, Easter, Monday, Tuesday, there's been death in the family.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking that into existence, but it's the facts.
Yeah.
The stats show that, doesn't it?
That's right. Yep. Mm. Yep. So, look, fatal five, that's something to think about.
Very important.
And you know, adhering to those rules, you'll certainly keep yourself and your family safer on the roads.
Yes.
It's also another point I want to point out, Trevor, people going out boating too.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
That's a very important thing.
Fatal five is part of that as well.
Look, you can apply it to it. Seatbelts probably don't apply to a boat.
Thank you.
To
okay,
a boat.
For a boat. Okay.
But yeah, certainly your speed, fatigue, your distraction, drink and drug driving, no question that they can affect your ability to.
And water police can pull over any vessel out there and do the check.
Correct, absolutely.
No dramas. You've got nothing to worry about. The police are just doing their job.
Correct.
Yep.
And again, keeping you safe on the water.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Do you know if water police have to check for life vests and things like that?
Yeah, so
to make sure they've got enough numbers.
Absolutely, make sure that you've got all the correct safety equipment on board
as well. Okay, lovely. Fatal five. Now, listen, before I let you go, look, love, thoughts, prayers are going out to the mob in Mareeba. We had an incident where fatality. We can't talk about that particular incident because it's under investigation. What I do want to ask to you, Senior Sergeant Linda Light, Police Liaison Officer Stephen Graham, cameras.
Yes.
A police officer wearing a camera, is the camera on all the time?
So the cameras that we currently use are, so when we turn them on, so they're on all the time, but they're not recording all the time. So, so when we turn them on, they will start recording from 15 seconds prior to when you've tapped the camera.
When you tap the camera. And it's just a tap. Yep.
And then that will record from that period forward.
Okay.
Yep.
When a police is in action, in power, attorney of power, when they're doing their job for a situation, the camera's got to be on.
Correct. So, the policy is that if the police are exercising a power, their cameras must be turned on.
Must be on.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And if there's two police in a car, in the vehicle, one's getting out, his camera on, is the other
They should both turning their cameras on. There should not be a situation. Look, it's something that shouldn't happen, and something that I know with our work, I review quite frequently with our staff to make sure that their cameras are on.
Well, as a senior sergeant officer, you've got your rules and regulation that, that you have to lead the police force under your command.
Yep.
And they're the sort of things that you make sure happens, so to speak.
Yeah, and look, there are incidences where they're not turned on, and it could be a simple matter of someone forgetting to turn it on, or they're in a wrestle and the front of the camera's tapped and turns itself off.
Okay.
Look, that's not a common occurrence at all, and you'd normally say that was isolated to one incident, and then we've always got their partner that it's recording.
Sure.
Otherwise.
Like I said, we... special concentration here in our conversation in regard to the incident just happened recently with Mariba. As I said, love and thoughts and prayers going with the mob, their family in that situation. We can't talk deep into that incident because it's under investigation, but I just wanted to ask that question because there's yarns out there and there's people want to know what's going on and what have you.
Yeah. I suppose the other thing your listeners might want to know is what happens to the footage. Okay, so...
Thank you. Well, okay, bring that to the table.
To access that footage, it gets uploaded to a cloud that's not available to anyone else. So basically, when the camera is taken back to the station, it's put into a dock. Mm-hmm. When it's so with the recharging dock, that is when that information uploads into the cloud.
Okay.
Now, anyone accessing that information has to have authority to access that information. It's not a matter of anyone can just go in and look at a piece of footage.
Sure.
You have to.
Would the family members be allowed to see that?
No, they won't have. No one will have access to any of the footage unless the police release that footage.
Unless courts bring it to the table for the investigation.
Correct. Yeah.
And investigations are by detectives, not by police officers. Is that right?
Situations like Mariba would be investigated by our Ethical Standards Command.
Yeah, yes.
And they absolutely would have detectives.
Every police station have one of those demands.
It's Ethical Standards Command is in Brisbane.
In Brisbane, okay. So they fly in.
So they'll fly in. So any investigation into any major incident, we would want it to be as independent as possible.
Okay.
Something that we've learned from Palm Island, obviously.
Sure, exactly. Of course, yeah. Mm. And so what's the duration of the outcome of the situation here? It's hard to say, eh?
Look, court processes just take their time. And they take their time, I suppose, because they have to get it right.
Yep.
And so when there's any coroner findings, they'll always be, with all the information that
of course.
That they required to make that decision.
Mm.
So it's not something anyone can put a time frame on.
Sure. Like I said, once again, love and thoughts, prayers going to the family there, Mariba. Thank you very much for the yarn, boys. We were talking about Fatal Five. Easter weekend is coming up, so let's be diligent in the Fatal Five. Act appropriately. Love and respect our precious families, especially our babies, in regard to no accidents, please. Thank you for the yarn, gentlemen, and we'll talk soon. We had a constable who was going to join us, but didn't make it in today.
No, she's stuck at a search warrant at the moment, unfortunately. Oh, so,
okay, well, is she new to the job? Is it in first year?
She is currently at the academy, so she's a recruit.
Oh, righty, okay.
Yep. So we'll have to wait till she pops out in another 4 months' time.
Yep. That sounds good, like you're giving birth to another child. So with recruitment, they're still in the training, but they come out and do prac work, working on the job. Is that right? Then they go back to the academy, then once they're... they qualify, they're released from the academy.
So this is
then their first year constable.
Correct, yep. So this is just station duty that she's on, so it's a little bit like work experience.
Okay, there you go. Nicely explained.
Just on that point too quickly, Trevor, I think there's going to be a media release from Uncle Adrian Coolwell's...
who we had in the station here a couple of weeks ago.
I believe it's probably coming in this Saturday's Cairns Post.
Okay.
For a read-up and some dot points that they followers might want to have a look at in becoming a police recruitment officer.
So for Murray's out there, they joined the forces. Yep.
There should be a page in the Cairns Post this Saturday, I believe.
They'd be coming in to take your job, brother?
Yes.
You're not going nowhere. You stay right there. Good yarn with you both. Thank you for the yarn, and we'll talk soon, eh?
Good on you, Trevor. Thanks.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn with the boys in blue. That's Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLay and Brother Man there. That's Police Liaison Officer Stephen Grant. And we're talking about the Fatal Five-Year Mob. So speed, fatigue, seat belts, distraction, and drink and drug driving. Yeah. So there it is. Be aware of it. We're coming up to the Easter weekend. We need to be safe out there, your mob on the road. And even with the weather, I mean, it's beautiful weather now up here in far north Queensland, but I feel that when it rains a bit and then it rains heavy, some people still travel at that normal speed. The speed zone is 60, but when it's wet conditioned and drop down to at least, I don't know, 55 at least, you know, be alert. And that's being, having concentration on the job at hand. And that is lots of driving in the Fatal Five. There it is in front of you, Mob. Look out to the conversation here. National Talk Black, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the bully one, and it's Trevor Tim. Trendy Trip, Murray from the Curry.